It's good to be back with you again in Bexley, and we trust today as we turn to the Word of God that we will indeed know the blessing and help of God. So we will turn to the book of Ephesians, please, the book of Ephesians, and we are going to read a selection of verses. Ephesians and chapter number 1. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. And if we could drop our eyes down, please, to verse number 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We will also read, please, in chapter number 3, and from verse number 12. Verse 11 closes with the words, Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's our reading from God's holy and precious word. What I would like to do in these sessions that are before us is to look at some what we would call foundational truths. Very simple and foundational truths, things that I would think most of us would be familiar with. But we know from the Word of God that it is good to go over some of these great foundational things because they are foundational. That doesn't seem like rocket science, doesn't it? But foundational things matter. They give us a stability. They give us a steadfastness. They give us that which enables us to endure. So what I would like to do with the help of God is to speak, first of all, on the fact that we have favor before God. Favor before God. That is that in God's rich grace, He has set His divine pleasure upon us. And I want us to think about that and to think of the significance of that for us. And that will probably occupy most of this session and the following session. I also then would like us to think in due course of the fact not just of favor before God, but fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. In that we have been brought into, yes, oneness with our Lord Jesus Christ. We are found in favor before God, and as such, we can have fellowship with God. There is that participation with God, and we will want to think a little bit about that. Then we might also want to think about fitness for God. Fitness for God. We are called to not only to know Him, but we are called to action. And there is a fitness that is becoming of our God. And we will want to think a little bit about that as well. And then, maybe, if we were thinking of the gospel, we could well think about forgiveness from God. But that is not our purpose at the moment. Now, why is it that I want to look at these things this afternoon? Well, it's still morning for a little while yet. Why is it we want to look at these things? Well, very simply, we notice and observe, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of many, that they often have a lack of confidence before God. And because of sin, and because of failure, and because of weakness, their spiritual growth is stumbled. And it's stifled. And I think one of the most sad things is to see a believer that has gone through the course of their life and they have been constantly stumbled and stifled in their spiritual growth and development because of the fact that they don't have confidence before God. But of course, when there is a lack of confidence before God, we can of course recognize this. There's no contentment in Christ. And that's a big source of the problem. No contentment, no rest in Christ. And that is of vital importance. And we'll want to think about that. And so, dear saints, are lacking in confidence before God. And they're lacking in contentment with Christ. But not only that, we find that in the life then, there is no conquering. Or to use perhaps a more biblical term, no overcoming. No overcoming. And we're always on the defensive. Always on the back foot in this world amidst a crooked and a perverse nation. But of course, you know what that affects? That affects our cheerfulness. That affects our enjoyment of the things of God. That affects how we relate to God in the joy and anticipation of our heart. So these things are of the utmost importance for us as the people of God. So that's why we're going to look at it. I want to also just for a moment say how we're going to look at this subject. We could, and not wrongly, approach it from the point of view of the fact that as those that are forgiven, we have then a responsibility to move forward and to live our lives in a way that is fit for the things of God, and in the purpose and in the service of God, to ensure, as those that are forgiven, that we are walking in the good of that, and we have fitness before Him. And in our fitness, that we would then seek to enjoy fellowship with God in the things of God and in the service of God. And then we would want to know what it is to have the favor of God upon us. Well, you could try and come at it from that point of view, but there's inherent danger in that point of view. There is an inherent danger from that point of view if you come at it from that angle, that it puts the focus here. I want to come at it from the angle that God comes at it from. And that is from the point of view of His purpose. What is it that God is seeking to do? And that's why we're going to start and first of all look at favor before God. Favor before God. And I have to acknowledge to you that in the background of my thinking is, as some will know, the tabernacle. And when God was manifesting His blueprint for that great tabernacle, He started from the ark. He started from the meeting place. He started from that central purpose of His, that He would dwell and commune with man. And then from there, it moves out. And that's one of the reasons why I want to look at it in the way that we are going to do it. And as some will know, we've looked at the tabernacle in the past, and we've looked at the simple fact that in the holiest of all, that is the place where there is favor before God. And in the holy place, that's the place where there's fellowship with God. And out in the court, forgiveness from God. And of course, with the labor, fitness for God. And so that is, I acknowledge to you, part of my thinking. But what I want to do then, as we come through this, is just hang our remarks as regarding having favor with God on these four words: confidence, contentment, conquering, and cheerfulness. You know, the Apostle Paul, as we have read from here in the book of Ephesians, he had a burden in his heart that the people of God would appreciate these things and know these things. He knew that it would give them a stability and it would give them an enjoyment of their salvation. And so it's good to appreciate these things. But you know, there's something I want you to be conscious of this afternoon. That is this: that we could treat this as a subject of knowledge. Knowledge. And to take a little example, there are some of you good folk and you're still students. And many of you have been in the students in the past. And you know very well that you can learn a subject matter. And you can know all about it. And maybe if you're a medical doctor or something of that, you can read the textbooks and the symptoms of things and what is necessary to effect in a cure. But what you learn has to be applied. What you learn has to be put in practice. So it has to be accepted and it has to be applied. But I'm going to put a word in the middle here for us today. And that is, it has to be appropriated. It has to be appropriated. It has to be made our own. And dear saints, that is where we often go wrong. The truths that we're going to look at, we don't make them our own. It's a little bit like when we hear the message of the gospel. And we're brought up and we hear the message of the gospel, and that Christ died for the ungodly, and that message is preached. And we accept it. But it wasn't made good to us until we made it our own. He died for me. And dear saints of God, the fact that we are brought into favor before God is something that we have to make our own. We have to enjoy it. We have to take it in and live in the good of it. Not as something that is theoretical, but something that is a divine reality. And so let us come now and link and think more particularly of the fact of being brought into favour before God. I want us just to notice in the verses that we have read that in the purposes of God, it says in verse number 4 that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I want you to also notice where this is. It's in heavenly places. I want you to notice it's in Christ. These saints of God this afternoon, how does God see us? How are we in his presence before him? Well, you see, dear saints, God has us in heavenly places, in Christ. And what does it say? Holy, without blame, before him, in love. This is what God has done for us in Christ. God in Christ has given us a holy, blameless standing before him in love. It stands in the Lord Jesus Christ. It stands wholly in him. And this afternoon, we can have boldness before him. We can speak to him without fear, knowing that we have access and we can have confidence. We read of that in chapter 3. That's the ABC of Christian strength. Access, boldness, confidence. The ABC of Christian strength. Access, boldness, and confidence. We, dear saints of God, have access to the throne of God because we are in heavenly places. Holy, without blame, before him in love. My dear child of God, this afternoon, you have no reason whatsoever to be found in fear and dread before him. I hope you know that. Now, some of you are probably thinking, why is Brian talking about this? Well, now, I think if you unfurl a few hearts in this meeting, you're going to find there are dear saints and they're not so happy, and there is a fear of God that I'm just such a failure, and I'm so disgusting before God. How can I come before God? And every day is just a failure, and every day is just a wipe off, and I never seem to move forward. And the reason why, my dear friend, in this meeting this afternoon, you often feel that, it's because you have never brought it into yourself. You've never reckoned it to yourself. You've never appropriated it to yourself. The wonder of what God really has done when he saved your soul. That you are before him and there's no trace of sin and stain upon you. Sounds like gospel truth. It is gospel truth. You see, when God looks at you, he looks at you through the lens of Jesus Christ. That's how he sees you. In Christ. Holy. Without blame. Before him in love. You are the object of divine love. Because you're found in Christ. What a privilege of being in Christ. That is the point of significance. How is it that it can be so? How is it that we can be brought into this oneness? Well, you see, we can't help but think, of course, of the law and the claims of the law. Now, most of us, I would assume, here are Gentiles, and we were never under the law in that sense. But the standard of God in its exemplary form, we find ourselves, all the world, guilty before God. guilty before God. And those claims of the law that stood between me and God, they're all at rest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The accusation of them against me, it's been nailed to his cross. And all the accusation of sin against me, nailed to the cross, and it's gone. There is no accusation in the law now towards the believer in Christ before God. None. And the claims of the law satisfied. And it's at rest. Could I say figuratively, it's buried in him. Ah, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the one who not only met the claims of the law from the thou shalt not point of view, but he met the claims of the law from the thou shalt point of view. Oh, here's the one who fulfilled the law, and he made it honorable. Such a dignity that belonged to him. Such a dignity that he accomplished when he fulfilled the law, and he made it honorable. But here was the one who was faithful. Here was the one who was fruitful. Here was the one who was the first fruits of God. And those of you will know I have in the back of my mind Aaron's rod that budded. And dear saints of God, here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the one who is the captain of our salvation. And he has met all that God looked for in a man. Not only all the claims of the law, but everything that God looked for in a man. Here's the one who came down from the glory. Here's the one who is the bread of heaven. Here's the one who walked in humility before men. He has satisfied God. And that's where you and I are. In that place of satisfaction. In that place of rest. This is what God has done for us. This is the purpose of God, to bring us into oneness with him. I hope that cheers your heart. I hope that within your soul you realize something of the magnitude of what God has done for you. This is where he has placed you, before him. In those heavenly places, holy, blameless, before him, in love. You know, you'd almost think, talking to some believers, that God's out to get them every day. Have you met some believers like that? And it's as if God's out to get them every day. And as if God's in the business of putting barriers between him and them. No, my dear friend, God has swiped away all the barriers, and he's put you right before him in the presence of his glory. Your salvation and your standing before Almighty God is as sure today as it'll ever be. You do know that. Your standing before God is as sure today as it will ever be. Because it's in Christ. Our standing before him does not depend upon us. Our standing before him rests alone in Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand, this is not theoretical. This is not, well, like, that's our standing and that's what God has made us, but it's no relevance. My dear beloved saint in this meeting today, the wonder of what God has really brought us into presently now makes such a difference. Because I understand my deeds, my works, has no input into my standing before God. But my works and my deeds are an output of my acceptance in Christ before God. They have no input into my standing, but they are the output of my standing in God. Because I can have confidence before God, not before Him in fear. You see, when God saved us, when He redeemed us, He didn't bring us into a place of bondage again. No, He brought us into a position where we were adopted. Romans 8. You see, God has not brought us into a new relationship where we're under a bondage of fear. But children, adopted into His family. Aren't those two of the critical words that we have read in verse number 5? Having predestined us onto the adoption of children. You come down to the end of verse number 6. Accepted in the beloved. The fact that we are adopted into His family. That we're accepted in the beloved. This is what gives us a security. And in that security, we can have confidence. Confidence before Him. Not waking up, as it were, and thinking, oh, today is going to be another tragic day, and I'll fail again, and God will be so angry with me and so upset with me. No. Getting up in the confidence in Him. And knowing that I have been brought into right relationship with Him. That I have a standing before Him that is not affected by time or by eternity. Because it all hangs in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him. It only and ever and always rests in Him. Favor before God. Objects of His love. There are parents here. And you know very well that your children sometimes irritate you. They do wrong things. But it doesn't affect their love before you one bit. Your affection for them. What they are before you. They're your children. My dear friend, dear saint of God, God's standard is so much higher than that. I should say God's character is so much higher than that. And He has chosen to make sure that those that He has saved will have this standing before Him, holy, without blame, before Him in love. All because, of course, of the blood. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we can think of that mercy seat and the blood being applied. It took His precious blood. That's my security. That's the place of my confidence in Him. Favor before God. A place of confidence. Not because it's resting in us, but because it is resting in the place of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will go on in the grace of God in a later section to think of the fact of our contentment in Christ. And to think, well, what happens when we do sin? And to think about the reality of having the flesh with us. And we will deal with those things in the session that is to follow. Thank you.